Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our service today, this fourth Sunday of Easter. We're gathered. It is Mother's Day, and we thank God for our mothers. But beyond that, I heard a pastor friend of mine in another state, and he called it, and I thought this was wonderful. He said instead of using the word Mother's Day, he calls this day Nurturing Women Day. Because the truth of the matter is that we've all been nurtured by women who may not have been biologically mothers, but they truly showed love and care and compassion and were blessed by. I had a lady named Miss Carwatt who didn't have children, but I sure felt loved as her son. So we are blessed by all of those ladies who have channeled the love of God and shown. So we give thanks to all of you today. Just want to draw your attention. There are a couple announcements. We are doing a meal at Parkview Ministries on June the 1st. That'll be here before you know. You can feel the nice summer warmth in the air. And just around the corner, it'll be June the 1st. And we will need volunteers. I think Webb is going to be doing something on the grill.
Smoking 6 pork butts, and unlike when we used to go to Parkview when we served food, this is just to pack and to go boxes. I believe Carolyn, well, she's not here today, but I believe she said from 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
Maybe a little longer, but it's just basically to pack all the food into the to-go boxes and get them ready for people to pick.
Sounds great. So let's plan on being there June 1st to help Webb and Carolyn get ready for that. Also, just a note there that Sherry and I will be out of town until either Thursday or Friday, so keep us in prayer. And there are no Thursday Bible studies because of that. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests this morning? Any prayer requests, praises, or concerns?
I'd like to share that thank you for your prayers for my brother who entered a hospital as a paraplegic, and within a week, he is now walking and has 50% use of one hand.
Praise
and that is a miracle.
Amen. Well, Duval's a miracle, and his sister Darby's also a miracle, being cancer-free. And we thank God for that last week, and we'll do it again in your presence today. So we are grateful for that. And let's continue to keep Darby and Duval in our prayers. Yes, sir.
I'm just going to bring it up. Judy, everybody knows Judy got bit by a dog yesterday. But she is fine. She's okay. But pray for the continued healing. By the end of the week, you shouldn't even know it was done. So she's fine.
There was an out of darkness hike yesterday at the Claytor Center in Bedford, and early, she had just gotten there. Dog lunged out and bit Judy on the hand, and Sherry and I, at least part of the way, drove her to the urgent care. So let's keep Judy in our prayers. She said she was going to make you cook dinner last night, did you?
Yeah, I'd say.
Good.
You know, the week is mine.
We'll pray for David as well.
Not playing ball.
Yes, ma'am, Gabe.
So praise that my mom had the angiogram on Thursday, and she doesn't have any blocked arteries. So I mean, she only needs her aortic valve replaced. She's got some more tests on the 12th and 16th, but it looks like the surgery will probably be on May 24th.
So let's keep May 24th for Elgin in our prayers. All right, thank you. Any other prayer requests? Want to keep Dave and B. Gardner in our prayers? They are leaving maybe by the end of the week, or if not, give or take a day or so to go back to Wisconsin for 4 months, 5 months. So we miss them when they're gone. But we are also able to keep up with them Wednesdays through the internet on the phone. So we're going to miss the two of you. We'll be praying for your safety. So make sure you keep Dave and B in your prayers. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the warmth of this house. As the chilly, cold winds blow, we thank you that we have shelter, a place to go where we are protected and safe, a place to go where there is warmth. And Lord, you know I'm not talking about the weather primarily. We thank you for a shelter from the storms of life, the difficulties. We thank you for the privilege, the honor, the right through Jesus Christ to come to you. And as the scripture says, like a mother hen gathers her chicks for protection and safety and love under her wings, so you gather your children. So we gather together today in your name, thanking you for your love, thanking you for Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. We pray that today our worship would be found acceptable in your sight through your Spirit. We thank you for the prayer requests that have been mentioned. We just pray that you'll continue to be with Lexi's family. Just bless them, encourage them in their loss. We pray that you'd be with Agnes, as she did return safely from Kentucky, but is just very tired. Just strengthen her and continue to be with all those in the loss of Mary. We thank you for good results and for good prognoses. And we just thank you for Darby and for Duval. We just pray that you continue to work in both. Thank you with LG for the good report there. And just pray now that you prepare her body for the surgery on the 24th, that it would be receptive and be a successful surgery. We pray and thank you that the bite that Judy received yesterday was not worse than it was. We pray that her pain would be at a minimum and continue to bring healing there. We just thank you for your watch care over us. There are so many unknown and unspoken ways in which you are working all things according to the grand counsel of your love and compassion. We just thank you. May we rest in the fact that you are God, and therefore not only are we not, but we don't need to become. We just need to rest as your children and trust you. And we do that thanking you for the privilege of being invited into your presence. We come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look with me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me, we will use a very familiar and one of the passages that the sermon will be on, Psalm 23. We'll use this as we call each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 28, To God Be the Glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
May Jesus lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters.
He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay a careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Thus ends the first reading.
Thank you.
since you have awakened from the dead, the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls each by name, and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, making us your children in Christ Jesus. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from Revelation 7, 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed on white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Thus ends the second reading.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. own Lamb, the great shepherd of our souls, we give all thanks and praise, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 10, verses 22-30. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Places in my life and times, I've sung a lot of songs and I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted at my life on stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're old now and I'm singing my song for you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you unkindly, but Lord, can't you see? There's no one more important to me, and I know you see through me. We're alone now, and I'm singing my song. Taught me precious secrets, all the truth withholding nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now it's so much better, and if my words don't come together, just listen to the melody, 'cause my love
gracious Lord, the truth of the matter is that you love the church, you love the world, you love us all, and you love us individually. Your knowledge of us is intimate, yea, to the very hairs on our head. You know our thoughts, and you know our fears, and you know our sins, and you know our concerns. You know our hurts, our points of loneliness, our joys, and our tears. We thank you that we are known by the Great Shepherd. We thank you that we not only are known, but we are called to come, that where you are, we may be also. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not only known and called, but we are enabled to hear and respond. Now we pray as we look at a couple very familiar passages and seek to intertwine them together and speak and hear one message, we would see Jesus in him alone. And we pray in his name. Amen. Thank you, John and Andy, Mona and Sarah, and all the other talents here to bless us. As Christians, I guess as people, we often use terms and words and whatnot, and sometimes we really don't know what we're saying. We all know. The average guy on the street would know. And you probably would say, hey, I'm going to quote a song. And you would begin, the Lord is my. And probably everyone, whether they go to church or not, is going to respond, shepherd. How many of you have ever known a shepherd? I'm just curious. One. That's usually what I get. Most of us don't really have the foggiest notion of a shepherd. So I like to ask, and I'm asking this morning, we're told that we have one. What good is a shepherd? Now, how does it change our life? How does it affect me in any way that I've got a shepherd? Well, let me ask another question. Hopefully, if you're awake, I'll get maybe 100% response on this. How many of you, whether you knew them or not, how many of you had a mother? All right. I'm going to suggest that shepherds are like moms in one particular aspect that I'm going to be looking at. Moms are like shepherds in one particular aspect of shepherding I'm going to be looking at. Now, we must say up front that not all shepherds are good, unfortunately. Not all moms are good. Isaiah 49 even speaks of a woman who could forget their child while it's suckling. And the people of Israel had been disappointed time after time after time of shepherds who failed to do that which they were called to do. Shepherds had disappointed. We read it in Jeremiah. We read it in Zechariah. We read it in Isaiah. We read it in Ezekiel. Shepherds that were tasked to protect and feed and lead and love the sheep, and they failed. So for us, we really don't have a notion of shepherd. For the children of Israel, they knew about it, but it just seemed like a dream too good to be true. It was like the year Jubilee. It sounded good on paper, but we really never saw it in reality. But they held on to this promise in Ezekiel 34, where it says, I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will shepherd them, he will tend them himself, and he will be their shepherd. They held on to that promise. In the midst of all the other shepherds that failed, they knew there was one, eternally stated and put on the throne, on the Son of David, and it was coming. And when Jesus arrived, he said, I am that great shepherd. No wonder throughout the book of the Gospel of John, the reaction from the Pharisees and others is to pick up stones and cast them out. You get the picture that these guys are just walking around with stones all the time, because they're always so quick and ready to stone Jesus, because they get quite the message of what he was saying. It was crystal clear to them. They knew he was claiming to be the one that would not disappoint. The good shepherd. The shepherd that we read about, that was read in the gospel lesson today, is the enthroned lamb we see in Revelation. He is the lamb and he is the shepherd. Let me talk a little bit about shepherding. Shepherding, and I'm not going to cover every aspect, but shepherding is a very active process. I mean, shepherding is not something that you just become, and it's an honorific title. If you're going to be a shepherd, it's going to be an obsessive part of who you are. You will always be a shepherd. You are primarily a shepherd. You sleep and eat and live and dream, you are a shepherd. And the movement is constant. We read in the passage today, not only in the 23rd Psalm, but in John 10, and we see a lot of movement. There's this idea of leading. We can feel the action, and we can just see that there's a lot of movement, because unlike some animals, shepherds don't feed, they graze. You know what I mean? Like, my dog comes to the bowl. Cows come to a trough. I guess hogs come to a trough. But not sheep. They graze. And when they have eaten all this grass in a particular area, they have to move. And that's why shepherds were not valued as being very respectable people. They were somewhat shifty. By definition, they had to be, because they were nomadic. They were constantly moving. And we see this in John's gospel. It says, they hear and I know, they follow and I give themselves. I call and they come. I lead and they respond. You know, if shepherds had a hymn, it would probably be a hymn that you can find on page 81. We're not going to sing it, but you may want to have it there. But it was a hymn that you probably know the title. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And I want to read the second verse of that, hymn 81. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, that's just euphemism for death is everywhere, by water still, or over troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis by thy hand that leadeth me. We read that and we should ask, okay, what's the context? We hear the songwriter saying, I'm content. I'll take your hand, whether it's still water or troubled sea. But death is reigning. And if you research that, you'll see that it was written by the pastor at First Baptist Church in Philadelphia in 1862. In the midst of this great turmoil of our country, in the midst of all that was going on, all the uncertainty, all the death, all the carnage, all the division and hatred, this Baptist pastor, Joseph Gilmore, he said, I have a shepherd. And he takes my hand and he leads me and he guides me, and therefore I can be content. And I would guess that if shepherds had a hymn, their motto, it would be, he leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm, and I want to sort of plow through the 23rd Psalm, that very familiar psalm, three different times, because there's three different paths that are going through it. The first one, and then let me just state, if you look at this 23rd Psalm, it's bookend by the phrase, the Lord. In verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. In verse 6, it says, we will forever be in the house of the Lord. And in between is this path. In between, we have David dealing with his confession that he will not want, he will not suffer lack, but it was written, again in context, at the death of his son Absalom. We think of David, he was a godly man, he was a man after God's own heart, he loved God. I mean, we could go on and on with David. But David knew loss. He knew the loss of an infant son. He knew the loss of an incestuous son. A grown son that raped his sister. David knew the loss of a rebellious son. David understood pain. And David understood loss. But still he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I have nothing lacking." There's nothing deficient in my life because I have a shepherd named Yahweh, the son of my eternal son, looking forward to Jesus Christ. So David walked this path, but Jesus walked this path. If you go back through the 23rd Psalm, it describes the life of Jesus, our Paschal Lamb, doesn't it? Our great shepherd. If you look, a path was directed and designed by God. It was a righteous path that Jesus was led through. His path went through the valley of the shadow of death. And his path placed him eternally in the Lord's house, where mercy and goodness was there. And now as the good shepherd, Jesus leads us home. He walks the path. You know, if you look in verse 2 of Psalm 23, it's interesting, why do we need to be led? And the truth of the matter is, we need to be led because we stray. We need to be led because we wander. We need to be restored in verse 3. We need to be brought back. He makes me. See, as sheep, we're constantly looking for greener grass. We're constantly assessing that what we're munching on right now is starting to get thin. And we start looking and thinking, well, you know, maybe over there I should go. Maybe this opportunity is the one. Maybe something else other than what I have. And so we wander, and we constantly need to have a good shepherd bring us back to the right path. And when he brings us back, we're always grateful, aren't we? Not really. See, in John 10, verse 29, we follow, and he talks about his hand. And he grabs us by his hand. And I want us to explore that for a minute. Because sometimes there's resistance to being led. You may not, but we sometimes resist being restored. We like to wander away, don't we? I'm a terrible, I don't know what the noun would be, but somebody that's in a tour guide, you know, where you've got a tour guide leader and a group of people and you're supposed to progress along at the pace that the tour guide leader and wants to sit. I'm always wandering off. You know, I'm just always wandering off. And we do that in life. Thank God our great shepherd is the one who's willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. But we don't like that sometimes, do we? That's why repentance and being restored is so difficult, is because we don't really see a problem in wandering off. We don't really see a problem in going to the far country until we hit the place where we're in the pigsty. Let me tell you a story. I don't like crowds much at all. And several years ago, because I, you know, try to be a team player, my mother and my sister and my sister's daughter and my youngest daughter, who was maybe 11 or 12 at the time, conned me into going to a Liberty University football game. And we're sitting there. And if you've ever been to this stadium, on one side, which was opposed to where we are, the opposite side, it was all the Liberty students. And it's just a sea of red. And then on this side, our little itty bitty group of the opposing team's fans. And then all the older people like us that just want to see a good game without a lot of distraction. Well, early on, my daughter, who had asked me, could she go over with her older cousin to the other side? And as any reasonable father would, I said, absolutely not. Stay put and sit here. Well, I left to go somewhere. When I came back, my sister, who has a tendency to be an idiot, she told my daughter. Did I tell you my daughter was 11? She told her daughter, who was maybe 17 or 18, and my daughter, that'd be fine for them to go over to that other side. I think it's the only harsh words I've ever spoken to my sister. I was very angry. I was panicked. The cool, calm demeanor that you get to see most of the time was nowhere to be found. And I was so angry and I was so fearful and I was so panicked that I went immediately to the other side. And it was just like a blur of a fat guy in a flannel shirt going up and down the aisles of all this red looking for his sheep. When I found her, she was having a great time. And I grabbed her by the hand as we read in John 10. And I didn't know whether, and you know this feeling, parents, moms, dads, I didn't know whether or not I wanted to hug her or kick her. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't kick her. I don't believe in that. And I grabbed her by the hand. But you know what? She resisted. She didn't want to go. She was fine. She was enjoying herself. It was for the sake of the shepherd, for the father. It was my comfort that took her by the hand. And brothers and sisters, I want us to understand the love that God the Father through Jesus Christ has for us. He takes us by the hand, not so much so that we feel better, but He wants to know that we are secure. He wants to know that we are protected. It was like the weight of the world was off my shoulders as soon as I found that girl and to take her by the hand. You remember a passage that says, angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner comes by. God longs for His sheep to come. And when we're found, we're led back. And even though the child might be feel resistant to that, hopefully we submit, knowing that God is leading us back to safety. Take you by the hand. So once we surrender and submit to God's bringing us back, restoring us, bringing us back to the fold, I think there's some consequences. We find, once we're back, that we really don't lack anything. There's nothing missing. When the psalmist writes in Psalm 37:4 that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. But it's an axiom. In other words, it's like when you turn on the lights, you will have light. It's self-evident. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, what is your desire of your heart? The Lord. See, if we truly understood prayer, we would know that regardless of how our petition turns out, we've got what we need. For what we need, our lot and our portion, is God that we're talking to and communing with. If you're like me, there's a lot of things in your life you would change if you could. And that's fine. That's good. It's good to make improvements and changes and what. But at the end of the day, right now, the Lord is my shepherd. I have nothing I like. I'm in Him. I could die today. I could die at this moment. Absolutely, completely satisfied, because my satisfaction isn't in getting that fixed. My satisfaction is I'm a sheep of the Almighty Shepherd. And He gave Himself for me. So we finally have nothing we like. The second thing we find once we submit to His restoring work is that we find we have total security in the valleys, in the difficulties, in the enemies of life. In this nomadic movement of shepherds, they didn't carry fencing with them. I don't know if you've ever thought this through. They didn't carry fencing or electronic fences. I mean, what they would do is literally find an outcropping of rocks where they could corner their sheep in. And often, once all the sheep were in, they would sleep laying across the major opening so that they would be aware of any enemy that tried to go in or any sheep that tried to exit. You ever heard the phrase, over my dead body you will? Do you understand the security we have in that the God of the universe through Jesus Christ says to our enemies, over my dead body you'll get to my sheep? We are protected. We have no need to worry. We have a shepherd. It's all well. So, the final thing we find when we submit to His returning us to the flock is we find there's a victory celebration waiting for us. We see in verse 5, there's a table. There's anointing. There's a cup that's overflowing. Which reminds us of another story of a sheep that came back. Remember the prodigal son? The prodigal son really didn't see a problem until he hit rock bottom. And when he came back, do you remember what his mindset was? Maybe my father will take me back as one of his hired hands. Remember that? He had no thought that he could come back as a son. Maybe he'll just hire me back. And if you remember the story, when he gets back, the father just humiliates himself by running. He grabs him around his neck. He grabs his swine-encased clothing, which would have made him defiled. But he didn't care. His son was returned. He embraced him. Do you remember what he gave him? He gave him a robe and a ring. And then one that we might think is not that important, but is so important if we understand the context and the culture. He gave him a pair of shoes. Because the servants didn't wear shoes. The servants served barefoot. And what he was saying is, you will not be my servant. You are my son. And you, I'm going to honor you, I'm going to elevate you, and I'm going to give you a party. And he gave him a fattened calf. We have full access. So let me ask you as we close. Why would Jesus, the God of the universe, the God who was just having a perfect time together, the fellowship in the Trinity, why would Jesus walk this path? Why would Jesus, the sovereign God, submit himself to this? Why would Jesus, a holy God, welcome people like you and me? Well, if you look at verse 29 in John 10, the Greek is real hard to interpret, and some translations are translated, some have differently. But let me say what it literally says. It says, literally in the Greek, my Father, who has given to me them, they are greater than all. Or as one translation puts it, that which my Father has given to me has more value than anything else. I hope you can't wrap your mind around that truth. It is too amazing to think the God of the universe values you more important than anything else. No wonder he left his heavenly throne and leaves the other 99 to come and find you. So you know what we say? As little sheep, who we probably were taught by our first shepherd, our mom, all we can say is, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Shepherding God, we praise and thank you because you gathered your flock around Abraham, and through Moses and Joshua, you brought your sheep to a place of safety. In Jesus, you came to us as a Passover lamb to take away the sins of the world. As our everlasting good shepherd, you promise that those who hear your voice shall never be in want, for you know your sheep by name, and you call us your own, and give to each of us a place in the sheepfold of your kingdom, where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven sing your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Sustaining God, as you lead your sheep to green pastures and guide them beside still waters, so you have to lead us to this table, where in bread and wine you restore our soul. Send down your Holy Spirit and restore your church through the abundance of this sacred meal, as we remember the story of your Son's life laid down for us. We ask that you would sanctify this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Saving God, your rod and staff comfort all who look to you in faith. Search out your sheep that are lost and bring them home. When you find them in the valley of fear, gather them in your arms. When they face evil in the presence of enemies, follow them with your goodness and mercy all the days of their life.
on that day when the shadow of death covers them, bring them to dwell in your house forever. Shepherd us with all your saints of every age into your glorious presence, where we shall behold your Lamb in seated glory, most holy Trinity, now and always.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a wonderful word, foreign, pretty dormant in the use in our society, but it's dripping with theological meaning. And the word is sufficient. Sufficient. We're told that Jesus Christ is sufficient to satisfy the wrath of a holy God, to propitiate our sins, to uphold us. In other words, it's enough. No more is needed, no less can be sufficient. In a world where more and more and more just seems to dominate, I offer you, as one appointed by the church, to come to a table of sufficiency. Jesus Christ is enough. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Jesus, the Passover lamb, is our all in all. So I invite all of you, as this is the Lord's table, who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth, to come forward to receive Him in His full sufficiency given to you. Come, receive your Passover lamb.
Thank you. Thank you.
make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.